You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Lebanon, a new film by Samuel Maoz, takes us to June 6, 1982, the first day of Israel's first war with Lebanon. Four young soldiers and a single tank are on a mission to secure a Lebanese village, and we are with them inside the tank, seeing only what they see in the gloomy, claustrophobic interior, with just small glimpses of the outside world through their periscope. The film won the Golden Lion Award at the 2009 Venice Film Festival, where it received a 20-minute ovation. It opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas, and I'm delighted that it brings its writer-director, Samuel Maoz, to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Remind us about that war. Why did Israel invade Lebanon?
I think that the general reason was the missiles from Lebanon. Some kind of ambassador was killed. I remember his name. I don't really remember the occasion itself.
But you fought in that war, and you don't remember why you fought in that war?
Oh, I was a kid.
And do you remember what the stated goal was? Was it just to stop the missiles, or was there a larger goal?
Just to stop the missiles. It doesn't begin as a war. I mean, I remember that they talked with us about a limited operation that will take 3 weeks and not more than 40 kilometers. In the end, it ended after 18 years.
Mm. And it ended not in a way that the Israeli government would have preferred.
I think that Lebanon is like US Vietnam, I guess. It's the nightmare of the Israelis.
Is this film based on your experiences in the army at the start of the invasion?
It's totally my personal experience. I was inside this tank. I was the gunner. Mm-hmm. And the film is my true personal story. But of course, in its way, it's also a very global story.
It must have been, how old were you at the time?
Around 20.
And you killed a man?
I killed a man in the first day of the war, and then I guess I needed to kill more. And you know, for me, the making of Lebanon was a need. So, of course, it was generally a need to unload, a need to expose the war as is without all the heroic stuff and the rest of the cliches, but it was mainly a need to, I don't know if to say forgive myself is the right expression, but maybe find some understanding because I have a responsibility.
To some degree, this is a film about how nobody knows what's really going on.
This is a real war. I mean,
that's
a real
war. In most war movies, people have a goal. They go out over to capture the hill. They suffer some casualties.
Because
is more like wandering around and having no idea what you're doing.
Because most war movies doesn't talk about war. They are a kind of entertainment movies that supply you heroes and sacrifice acts. When the heroes die, even the blood on his face is sexy. I mean, there is not real war in the most. Of course, there are a few masterpieces, but when you take, for example, Apocalypse Now or The Deer Hunter, so it's a total chaos. Nobody knows.
To some degree, but do you think Israeli wars are a little different? Because to some degree, you get the same sense from a film like Waltz with Bashir that there's an awful lot of confusion.
I think that the Lebanon war itself was a bit different. I mean, in the, let's say, 6 days war, Kippur war, the war kept its, if I can say, game rules. I mean, on the right side, one army, on the left side, another. Each army has its own uniform to see the different. Between them, a piece of land to fight over. Now, I'm not saying that it's less horrible, but at least clear you have a basic orientation. And in Lebanon war, those rules simply didn't exist. I mean, the war took place inside neighborhoods. The enemy was wearing jeans, so you couldn't see the difference between soldiers and civilians. The general direction was north, but that north turned very, very quickly into 360 degrees. And all I remember from the end of the war was the madness of everybody eyes, the craziness in the air.
How long were you in Lebanon?
45 days.
Now, this film really takes place over the span of one day.
Yeah.
And it centers
the first day.
And it centers on four young soldiers in a single tank, which is driving alone at the start. It's accompanied by foot soldiers. Is it usual for a single tank to be on a mission by itself, not in a convoy?
Not usually. But in this war, there was some kind of occasions that ground soldiers used one single tank to escort them for their missions.
The mission is to secure a village that's already been cleared out. What's happened there?
I guess that we lost our way. Hmm. And we found ourselves inside the Syrian area, trapped. In the end, the film is not the plot itself, not the story itself. The plot is very basic. The film talking about what's going on inside the soldier's soul during a war, if I can say.
Well, it's almost amateur soldiers. At the beginning of the film, Asi, the tank commander, gives an order to the men to go to sleep and for one of them to stand watch. And that man argues about the order. In most armies, that would be considered insubordination.
You know, because in the IDF, I guess as much as the army is busy, you don't have time for distance, for special uniform for officers. We are eating in the same dining room. We are almost at the same age. And in the IDF, you used to talk freely to the officer. There is nothing like, yes, sir, no, sir. Your wish is my command, sir.
But doesn't that make it more difficult to maintain some kind of a sense of hierarchy, a sense of control? Somebody has to be in charge.
Yes, and in the end, usually it's working. But as I said before, in the Lebanon war, the war was so chaotic. That in the end there were no commanders or soldiers or good guys or bad guys.
And the men in the tank have a very limited view of the world. They have to rely on orders from headquarters to know what to do next. It's really all about radio contact with the base. Who are they talking to?
Because in the end, you know, when you are fighting, in the end, you are not fighting for your country or for your family or even for your children if you have. You are fighting for your life. This is the, let's say, primitive trick of the war itself. Also, the picture that you see is very limited because the war don't want you to see the old picture. It's not good for the war that you will see the old picture.
Well, is the problem exacerbated by the fact that this is the first day of the war? Do things become clearer as the war continues?
It's not a question about clear. Usually, in the first day of the war, you are still acting according to, let's say, the moral or the ethical codes that you raised on or grew with. But after a few hours in the war, the trick of the war is that in the end, if you take a soldier, take a human being, put him in a real-life dangerous situation. Now, when I'm saying it here, it maybe sounds theoretical, but when you feel it in every cell of your body. And in the end, our most surviving instinct, our most basic instinct, our surviving instinct will take control, and you will start to kill, because when you falling to such an extreme situation, when all the basic rules of life are not there anymore, you can't continue thinking with the logical of normal life. I mean, if you will find yourself dead. So it's a kind of, let's say, metamorphosis, a very almost physical process. We don't have time here, but this is a very interesting process, psychologically, I mean. And in the end, you become a soldier of the war. An animal that someone is trying to hunt. You don't making any plans like, you know, now I have an interview, then I have lunch, and you're just surviving. You know, you are not thinking about tomorrow or the day after or even 1 hour further.
My guest is Samuel Maoz, director of a film called Lebanon, which won the Golden Lion Award at the 2009 Venice Film Festival. It's opening today at the Lincoln Plaza and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas. And these are how many hours straight do they wind up? Does a typical tank crew wind up staying in a tank? I mean, do they get a chance to get out and stretch their legs every once in a while?
You can, but you don't really want to,
because you're exposed. Yeah, how did you wind up shooting this film? You did this on a pretty small budget, didn't you?
It was a very, let's say, low-tech film, yeah.
Your background had been in documentaries and in television?
No, I was a production designer.
So you never had directed a film before?
I directed one 15-minute dance documentary art project, if I can say.
So this is rather ambitious, and doing it on a tight budget. On the other hand, you only really have one set here.
Yes, there are in the end benefits like shooting in a. Of course, the in the editing process, if something won't work, so you will be you will have a big problem, because there is nothing like, you know, four flats, one hospital, one coffee shop, two cars. You can't play with the scenes. It's not modular. But there are benefits like, for example, you can shoot the film from the beginning till the end. You don't need to jump between the scenes. And this is a very good process to the actors, to me, to the crew, to everybody.
How did you create this? I mean, you have... you do have this real sense of a claustrophobic situation, and there's water dripping down the walls. There are explosions, and you're not using computer generated imagery.
No, it's all handmade. But you know, maybe this is the beauty of cinema, because maybe you felt that you was inside the tank,
and I was getting very hot. It keeps on getting hotter and hotter.
But in the end, if you will analyze it, you will see that there is even not one shot of the whole tank from inside. It's mainly close-ups with irons. So maybe the beauty of cinema is that I can give you 20-25%, and if it's working, because 1 + 1 are not necessarily 2. It can be more.
Now, the events that you base this on happened nearly 30 years ago, but you finally decided to do something about it 3 years ago. You suggested that it was kind of nagging at you over those years. But what was it like to relive that combat? I'd imagine that this could also have been a disturbing experience.
You know, no, the opposite. In the end, it was a release. It was a release. The hard time was to keep it locked inside me for 25 years. Of course, it wasn't the reason. It was, let's say, it was a byproduct, something that I found myself earning on the way. Yes, it was, let's say, the best treatment that I could buy for myself. But it's nothing like, you know, I was ill and then I found the cure and now I'm healthy.
Now we're pretty much out of time, but this. You get the sense that you're not trying to make these soldiers into heroes or anti-heroes, but we are rooting for them because they are humans. Has this film been interpreted as a pro-Israeli film?
It's interesting.
When it's shown in Europe?
In Europe? Not at all. But not also as an anti-Israeli film. In the end, they catch the humanistic message. In Israel, it was a bit different. I mean, when we analyzed the results, we saw that as much as the audience is old, like our parents that came from Europe, that part of them came from the German camp, so the reaction were a bit negative. Not negative like this is a bad film or something like this, but like it's not the time, it's not still the time to show a film like this in Israel because maybe mothers won't send the sons to the army. But regarding to the young generation, it was totally positive. And in the end, the Israelis search for reasons to celebrate. So if you won the Golden Lion in Venice, so they don't really care about what the film. So I guess it helped it.
I guess also since everybody has to serve in the military, and many people saw some of their own experiences reflected in this film.
Yes, I've got many, many, many emails from ex-soldiers, from ex-soldiers' wives, from ex-soldiers' children. Yes.
Samuel Maoz is the director of Lebanon, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And for more information about the schedule of Lebanon, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. The weather forecast is for another hot one today, and the weekend may not be much better. On today's Please Explain, we will look at how heat affects the body and the best ways to avoid heat stroke this summer. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.